turning that back off. Today, in case you Jenny, I'm sorry. Yes, okay. She got her certificate of belonging last week, and now she's special again. You're just extra special, Jenny. All right. And in case you forgot, our food and fellowship fair today, there's food there, so no worries. Even if you weren't planning on it, you're still able to stay and join us. All righty. And then Bible study Wednesday night. We're finishing up 2 Peter chapter 3, the last shot at 2 Peter. Okay? 6 o'clock. Next Sunday, is it freedom or foolishness? Which are we going to celebrate? We'll see. All right. You'll read about it this week. And there are some of the baby bottles that have not yet been returned. Get them in. They're needing your money for Life Choices Pregnancy Center. Thank you to those who took them. Here we go. This is Friday night. There they are. Kids having fun. Strategy session there. Shall we or shall we not? The wind was blowing a little bit. There he goes. Bulldog is going to do it. Uh-oh, there's the smoke. Must be fire. Where's the fire? It's all smoke. Ooh, here we go. Yeah, look at that. It was hot. It was hot. We all had to stand back. The fire department came. Someone in the neighborhood called a dumpster fire. They waved at us and went back. There's Tom. We're still waiting to be able to roast weenies. There's a little hot approaching the fire, so I got smart and hit the ground. You know it. It was really hot. D-Wayne was giving kids rides. That was the highlight of the night. Yes, that was a great evening. And thanks especially to Bulldog for overseeing the fires. Even yesterday, we still had some complaints from the neighbors on the smoldering smoke going over, but it was all right. And then there's another one, Sue. There it is, Bulldog, again yesterday. He couldn't help himself, had to get up there and see the guy down in the right-hand corner there watching to make sure he doesn't slide and fall. I have to catch him. So, yeah, I was supervising, telling him what to do. And they had him made an extra run to Badger in the midst of it because he ended up doing two fixes on the leakage things. So
don't think
got to make sure that it works. Thank you anyway, Bulldog. Good job. Appreciate it. He's my hero today. Okay, and on the front of your bulletin, from John chapter 1, it says, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us, and we have seen His glory. The glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Who do we come to worship today? The perfect Word. The perfect Word. All right. Bow our heads as we begin. Father, thank you as always for the freedom once again to come into your house today to worship you. We're thankful, Lord, for your love and your goodness and how you've revealed yourself to us through your Word, the spoken Word, the written Word, the living Word, the perfect Word. And so we open our hearts to more of you today. Thank you, Lord, that we can unite together and enabling us to give you a worship that you are worthy of, along with all the others around the world doing the same thing. Thank you for the privilege we have to be a part of that great community of faith. Okay. Anita. It's all right.
God's been putting this on my heart, and I just want to say that. So, the year after Lenny died was just such an up and down year. It was an amazing
Man, thank you. Wonderful testimony. Celebrated Jordan's 25th yesterday, and that was a good time. It is connected with a painful memory, but God has been faithful. Thank you for that testimony, Anita. Good testimony. And God's word had something to do with that, right, Anita? Yes. As has been testified to this morning. Without him, without his word, yeah, exactly. So we celebrate God's word this morning, and we've been looking at different ways in which we can receive that 2020 vision that God has, that he enables us to have as well. And of course, one of the most obvious and essential ways is his word, the spoken word, the written word, the living word, which is of course the perfect word that we celebrate today. And so we're going to look at different aspects of his word, different perspectives on it from his word this morning. You never get tired of the word, do you?
No.
Okay then. So we're going to begin with the psalmist's perspective, beginning in Psalm 19.
The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commandments of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned, in keeping them there is great reward.
Yeah, I kind of rolled quickly into that beginning, sorry. Perfect precepts perspective is what we're sharing this morning, and the precepts, of course, one word for God's word, and other words that we will share together in it. The psalmist begins by saying, the law of the Lord is perfect. It is perfect. And in all of its ways, and the different ways that God communicates to us, that's the perfect perspective. And so hopefully we are open to it, our hearts' eyes are open to receiving what God has for us. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, the precepts are right, commands are radiant, giving light to the eyes, more precious than gold, yea, than much fine gold. And I blew the song already, but you know it. More precious than honey and the honeycomb. And so we open our hearts to God's word this morning. The psalmist in Psalm 119, which some of you read all the way through this week, even though it's a very long psalm, is what Lula gets to read.
Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Make your face shine on your servant and teach me your decrees.
This is really a prayer the psalmist is expressing to the Lord. He's asking the Lord to do all of these things through his word, understanding that the Lord is able to reveal himself and all the good things God desires for us to experience through his word. And so he says, open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things in your law. Give me understanding so that, you didn't emphasize that, Lula, so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. All right? So we need the understanding of God's word, and he opens our hearts and our minds to that understanding so that we can obey it and live in the fullness of the promises that he gives to us. And he goes on and on and on. And the psalmist says there at the end, verse 135, make your face shine on your servant and teach me your decrees. God's face is what is shining on us through His Word. We'll sing about that later. Secondly, a couple of the prophets give us the prophet's perspective. Yes, there it is. Prophet's perspective. Samuel and Isaiah. Linda has that.
The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there He revealed Himself to Samuel through His word. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it.
Yeah. Samuel just represents all of the prophets, really, where it says He revealed Himself to Samuel through His word. God spoke to the prophets, spoke through the prophets by His word, and so that's the way God has worked from the beginning. And we all have the opportunity to be a prophet. It's not just PJ up here flapping his gums, but each one. Some of you have opened your mouths today and spoken to us God's word from your own experience. And this is the beauty of the church, that we can share these things, a priesthood of believers, Peter would later term it. And so we all have that opportunity. And through Isaiah, He promises that His word will go out and it will not return to Him void. It will accomplish what He desires for it to accomplish. So know that when God is speaking to you, He's working through you to accomplish His will. And it's a beautiful process that we have the privilege to be a part of. We are present day prophets in that regard. Thirdly, God enables us again to receive perfection's perspective. Perfection. Not what, but who is that? There you go. I heard it. Jesus. All right. Perfection's perspective. What did Jesus have to say about that in John chapter 1?
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. The world became flesh and made His dwelling among us. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us.
There you go.
We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
The Word of God created all things. That Word that gives light to mankind came into the world, became flesh, dwelt among us, so that we could have a perfect picture of who God is. I'll say it again. I've mentioned this many times. The little boy who said the best picture God ever painted of Himself was Jesus. And so perfection is in the person of Jesus. This is the Word of God that we can see. And we may not physically put our hands on Him. I'm getting ahead of it a little bit here. But we are able to experience Him in a very real way and know what God is like because of that. He was coming into the world. So what did this perfect Word have to say about the Word? Matthew chapter 4 and following.
It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth.
Yeah, so this is Jesus speaking. Okay, I will have to say something about that. It was almost perfect timing, Anita. Something fell in there. Oh, you're up there. Don, who's in there?
Sue and Don.
Sue. Anyway, something fell, right? Did you hear that? Just before she read, but the seed falling on good soil, I just couldn't help but notice, okay? Yeah, it was a heavy seed. But the point is that what's the seed fall on? Does it fall on bad soil or good soil? The seed that falls on good, what is good soil? It's us receiving. It's us being open to that. Then we are able to understand. Then we are able to produce fruit. But we have to be good soil. We have to open our hearts to that which is the word that Jesus was talking about. We don't live on bread alone. We're going to enjoy some good food and fellowship here after a while. But in my mind, it's the fellowship which is the best part, which is really the meat of what we share together. It's not the material, physical food. It's the fellowship. It's sharing God's word, the experience of God's goodness that we share together. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. We are in the sanctifying process as God works his word in us and through us. It bears fruit. We grow all of those good things together. And so the more that we know Jesus, the more we know perfection and truth in order to live more like him, to be like him and the Father. So fourthly, then we add to this Paul's perspective. Paul's perspective. There you go. And Ephesians chapter 6 beginning.
Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts of attitudes of the heart.
I should have brought my sword in here. I've got a sword in the office there. I should have brought it in and threatened somebody with it. But the sword, threatened Bulldog, yeah. Give him a piercing instead of a kiss today. So the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and that is the primary weapon the Lord has made available to us in order for us to fight the fight and to be victorious in the spiritual warfare that we're all about. And the enemy is at work. There's no question about it. We see darkness around us. And are we prepared for that fight or not? Do we have the light of the saber? Let's say, what was that called in whatever that movie was?
Star Wars.
Do you know what I'm referring to, right? As I light the lightsaber? That's what, okay. This is the word of God. And we can take care of the enemy. And it also is used for discernment, for us to get through the confusion, the darkness, that sort of thing, separating falsehood from truth, which we'll share a little bit more about next Sunday. And the gift of discernment is using the word of God in that spiritual warfare. So Paul is giving us a good practical tool of the sword of the Spirit to use. He continues then in 1 Thessalonians 2.
And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe.
And this is my prayer every Sunday, before and while I'm up here, is that you will hear not my word, not a human word, but the word of God. And if anything is false aside from that, that's on me. That's my bad. But the Lord give you discernment to know the truth of God's word apart from anything that may be to the left or right of it. And Paul is saying this to Timothy, Timothy is Paul's writing to the Thessalonians at this point, sorry, and saying that you received the word that I shared with you, not as a human word, but as the word of God. And then he says, you must continue in this word in order for Hunana to behave herself. I'm sorry, couldn't resist. We love her. All right. We're glad to have Adrian and Hunana and John with us this morning. All right. My wife is fond of quoting, get into the Word of God and... Yes, that's the way it works. And so we must open ourselves to more and more of it. Paul then encourages us, his son in the faith, sorry, here we go, this is Timothy now, to this.
Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learnt it. and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Yes, all of that Paul is encouraging Timothy to be faithful in with the God's Word, handling it and all of that, so that he might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I mean, that's a bundle right there. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. Not just a little bit here and there, but we're thoroughly prepared. And we're involved in every good work that God wants to do in us and through us. What a high privilege that is. Yes? Which leads to the fifth and final point, which is privileged perspective. I'm playing around a little bit here. Who might have a privileged perspective of the disciples? There's a hint. Who were the privileged of the disciples? Good for you, the inner three, Peter, James, and John, who alone had the privilege to be with Jesus at certain points of special significance. And so we give Peter, James, and John a chance to share their privileged perspective, beginning with Peter in 1 Peter 1.
For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you.
What Paul emphasizes, Peter emphasizes here, is that God's word is forever. It's living and enduring. The psalmist said in another place, the heavens and the earth may pass away, but God's word stands forever. So if we want to be a part of permanence in this whole perspective thing, Peter gives us the clue, be hooked with God's word. It is the one. We may wither and fall away physically and materially here, but we are a living spirit. God has created to live with him forever through his word. We receive his word. We're born again through his word. We grow in his word. We become more like Jesus in his word. Forever we will be praising him through his word. You get the point?
Yes.
Okay. James adds a therefore to this.
He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Therefore.
Huh?
Therefore.
Okay.
Get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you.
Word.
The word, sorry.
That doesn't make sense.
God whispers sometimes.
Which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do.
Who gets blessed? The doers, thank you. We must be in the Word. We cannot know God's will without being in the Word. We cannot see the light instead of darkness without His Word. But if we're only in it and we're reading it and going and putting it down and then we walk off and forget, sorry, no good. In fact, we're worse off probably than we were because now we're accountable. We must be doers of the Word in order for that all to be fulfilled in us and through us. And this is James's emphasis. Whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. We're going to focus on freedom next Sunday. And so some of this will come back to us. But we must continue in it in order for all of that to be fulfilled. Finally, the Apostle John gets the last word.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us.
And you're thinking, well, sure, that's good for John to say. He was there. He saw Jesus physically. He was able to touch him, you know, and spend that time with him. We can't. We're 2,000 years later. What did Jesus say about to Thomas when he was doubting?
Blessed are you who believe but has not seen.
Yes. This was Jesus to Thomas. To John, Thomas said, unless I touch you, I can't believe. Jesus said, got it wrong, Thomas. Blessed, more blessed are those who, though they haven't seen, have believed. And so we may not see him physically, but there is a lot of evidence around physically of God's creation. But the deepest thing is that spiritual connection, being able with our heart's eyes to see him. He's revealed himself to us through his word, spoken, written, living word. Jesus is still alive. He is with us just as he was with them. Maybe not physically, but spiritually, there is reality there. You all are nodding your heads because you know. I'm just flapping my gums, repeating things that you already know. But it's good to be reminded and encouraged once in a while that we must be in God's word. We must receive it. We must do it and all of that good stuff. So my prayer is that today in this moment with us together, God will shine once again upon us, that his light in this world of darkness will reveal himself to us. And in a collective way, we will bear that stamp of God's revelation in our lives. So I invite you to stand with me. And let's sing together with Phillips, Craig, and Dean, Shine on Us. word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Thank you, Father, that you have loved us so much, that you revealed yourself to us through your spoken word, your written word, and most perfectly through your living word, Jesus. Thank you that he is still alive and a light in our lives in this dark world. Help us, Lord, to open our hearts, the eyes of our hearts, wider and wider to you, to let more of that light come in us, to work in us and through us. Let that light shine out from us. Thank you for the privilege we have to be used by you in this present day to be a light in the world. Thank you, Father, that as we do so, we are automatically and naturally joined together by other bearers of the light, vessels of light, that we share the love that you've bestowed upon us so beautifully. Thank you, Father, as we come together and as we encourage one another, that light can grow, can multiply, can become greater, overcoming the darkness that is around us, just as it did when you were here physically. So you continue that work in us and through us. Thank you for each one that is here this morning. Pray your blessing in each heart and mind as we respond to your word. And some of the concerns that have been shared this morning, we just continue to lift each up to you. And we also mentioned Jenny and some of the issues she's dealing with physically, as well as in this time of adjusting and transition. Pray your blessing in all of those things you're aware of. Thankful, Lord, that you're with Hollis and Cheryl also, and bringing healing to them. Thank you, Father, that as we go through each day, you give us opportunities to not only experience your love, but to share it with others. Help us, as always, Lord, to be sensitive to your spirit and obedient, that we can be used by you to fulfill what you desire. What an awesome privilege that is. We open our hearts to other expressions of your love.